And we're going to go ahead and get there, and I'll get this turned on in a second.
Oh, wrong one.
And the book of Genesis chapter 13. If you'll get there, say amen. And we'll just ask God to have His way. And we'll get this thing straight in a second. Amen. While you're turning there, Genesis 13 and verse 10. And tonight is also the fifth Sunday singing. And Brother Bruce, if you could give me a little more of the feedback here. And the fifth Sunday singing is tonight. That's good. I appreciate it. And so tonight we will not have preaching, but we will have the singing. So we're going to make most of the preaching and altar service this morning. Is that all right? Because I know in this busy life you need to get in these altars when you can. And it's very easy sometimes to get so in a hurry, even in a church setting. So we will be having an altar call this morning. So just make most of that time. Remember, there probably will not be an altar. I can't remember if y'all do one on Fifth Sunday Singers or not. It's been my first one helping with. So just make sure. Let's get in here and have church this morning and ask God to have His way. But Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. And when you're there, say amen. It says this, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." And also I want you to go to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. And we're going to read two verses there. You'll notice in Genesis 13 that we had a glimpse from Lot. He was looking at Sodom and Gomorrah at distance. And he noticed, he said that it was as the garden of the Lord, saying it was almost to him in his eyes that Sodom and Gomorrah and those plains there was like the Garden of Eden. He thought it was beautiful. He looked at it and desired it. But then when we look in Genesis 19, we have another glimpse of Sodom and Gomorrah, or Sodom. And it says in 19 and 27, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as a smoke of a furnace." So here we have two different views of Sodom and Gomorrah at distance. Like I said, one was from Lot and the other one was from Abraham. But with the Lord's help today, I want to preach a message. I've never preached along these lines, but I want to preach on an interview with Lot. An interview with Lot. And we're here today with the Lord's help. This is maybe to help us maybe take the story in a little bit. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk to Lot out of the book of Genesis. And we're going to interview him. And we're going to see how he got into the condition that he got into. Because when we know the full story here of the book of Genesis, we know the full story here that we would know that the end result was this, that Lot was there at the very end. Lot was somebody that ended up fleeing from Sodom and Gomorrah and pretty much losing everything. We know that he lost his wife. We know that he lost his sons-in-law, it says there in the Bible. We know that he lost all his cattle. He went into that plain when he left Abraham. He had a lot of abundance. He had cattle. He had herds. But it's amazing that when you read the Bible, when he leaves Sodom and Gomorrah, he has nothing more than his wife and his two daughters. And we know that his wife didn't make it. Long story short, we know that the story of Lot in the Bible has a lot of weight. And it's not only mentioned in the Old Testament, but we must understand. You say, "Brother Derek, how would that apply to me?" When you look throughout the Bible, you would understand that even in the New Testament, that Jesus makes reference to Lot in the book of Luke chapter 17. He says, "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." You would also understand that we would find it in the book of 2 Peter. It also applies here when Peter's talking to the church. He's saying, and delivered just Lot, vexed from the filthy conversation of the wickedness, for the righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation." So you understand the story of Lot in the Bible is not some just old Testament story that we do not apply to our lives, but we can study and we can dissect the Scriptures and we can learn to apply the story to you and our lives. We can look at Lot, and I tell you, to be honest with you, if the Bible didn't say in the New Testament that he was a righteous man, I don't know where I would put Lot. Just to be honest, it's just hard to swallow sometimes, because the New Testament says he was a righteous man. That if it wasn't for that there, friend, it's almost like you would put Solomon. You just don't know what happened to him. There's 100 different ideas of where he went and all this. But we look at this story today. We must first start at the very end result of Lot's life. And I just want to kind of illustrate this to you today. I'm not taking to or adding to. Don't feel that way. But maybe you notice his wife came home and had something on opposite of what he believed. The problem is this, it didn't happen overnight. We always want to make instant judgment by now. Well, it looks good now. Well, I like it now. Well, it's promising now. It's the perfect opportunity. Think about the future. Think about the end. I bet Lot would tell us, think before you move your tent one place. Think about it. If God wants you to put up camp, stay where you are for a while, stay there. It's like one preacher had a woman come to his church and she was known to be a church hopper, you know. And church hoppers and grasshoppers, both of them a pestilence. But this woman, no, she came there and said, God led me here today. I know God led me to this church. A month later, she said God led her away from it. No, matter of fact, she said God didn't. She just said she's leaving. He said, well, did God speak to you? She said, no. Well, he said, God spoke to you to come here. Why are you leaving if He speak to you now? She said, well, no, but do you understand what I'm saying? That is the mentality. We don't care the repercussions. We don't care what happens to our children. But hear me today. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, no doubt, begin to take effect on Lot and his family. Now, I'm not preaching tonight, so just hold on. What is the sins of Sodom? We always say sodomite, homosexual. That was part of it. But the Bible gives us insight because many of us would say with the American mentality, many of us would say, well, we are in America. We don't have to worry about all of that. We become smarter. We become sophisticated. To be sure, it won't influence our family like it influenced them. The sins of Sodom, we find out in Ezekiel 16 and 49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, the abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, they were holy and committed abomination before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good. So he's pretty much saying, iniquity, pride, overeating. This is all being tagged to Sodom and Gomorrah. Overeating, abundance of idleness, I mean they're just laying around, they ain't doing nothing. It wasn't her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the head. She didn't have a burden for the needy or the lost. They were holy and they committed abomination. Sodomy and homosexuality was a product of that. Just like in America. It started off with pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. That's where it breeds. It does not stop. These were the sins of Sodom, and you could trace them just as well in today's iniquities. Understand this. After that, I believe Lot would say something like this. He would probably look at us and say, I ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. I didn't know it was going to get that bad. And you know what? God gave me a warning, and I never listened. We know the story, and I'm not going to go through it all. But Sodom and Gomorrah gets captured in a battle with different kings, a battle of kings. Sodom gets captured, and Lot is in the mix. And many times we could study that and understand that most likely Lot was on his way to becoming a slave. Him and his family, most likely. Here Lot is. He's in captivity. But Uncle Abe, the man of God, the man with promise, heard about that, took 318 men, and some believe maybe more. I like 318 because God's big enough. And all of a sudden, we understand, he took 318 men. He went and fought them kings. He slayed them. He delivered Lot. We know the story. But if I was Lot, and I get captured and almost made a slave, me and my family, I would probably say, look, honey, we tried it, it didn't work. Look, Miss Lot, I tried it, it didn't work. We're moving out of here. We cannot stay here any longer. We're hung around the bad crowd. We're already seeing the influence of it. We've already been captured. Our kids are traumatized. They're already being indoctrinated in the program here. We need to understand, we need to get out of here. It's just the way I think. But you know, a lot of people don't think that way. They can get caught in the worst situations in this world. And it's almost like God saying, hello, get out. Get out of Sodom. Get out of the mess you're in, and then people will go back. Lay on that bed and say, man, this is a wonderful place. It's nothing like the Sodom house here, you know. It's nothing like living here. Oh, that's a new mattress, sweetie. It's just so wonderful. Let's stay a little longer. And the nest got a new mattress. That was not a jab. But we look at this and we understand. We know this. That they're sitting there and he has to be deceived to the place. He's seen God deliver him. It had to be miraculous. He saw his Uncle Abraham. Even his Uncle Abraham on the way back to Sodom stopped to see Melchizedek, gave him tithing and all this. He had to see that. And you think somewhere in there, say, Lot would have said, we've got to get back with Uncle Abraham. We've got to get out where we are. But no, his mentality, how many times does God have to rescue people out of something before they get to Him? Last point is this, I want to make this point to you. The last thing I believe Lot would say to us as we're interviewing him, he would say this, I should not have tarried. Not only should he not have tarried after he got delivered the first time, but we read the Bible, we know the story. Three angels, many different ideas there too. Possibly to God here, the angel of the Lord, came to Abraham. Abram there intercedes for them, saying if there's 10 righteous, God says, I will not destroy it. He sends two angels there. Here Lot is at the gate of the city. And all the Bible says this, we know this. After long story short, we know that the angels went to his house after being inquired by Lot. We know that the men of the city, they must have either seen the angels and desired them. Whatever it was, the men of the city came to the door. They're knocking on the door. They're asking for the angels. We know Lot offers his daughters, and I've never understood that anyhow, but all of a sudden you're sitting here, all of a sudden you get the angels, they strike the people blind. Obviously sometime that night they went to sleep. To be sure, by now the angels have told Lot, we're going to destroy the city. We are going to destroy the city. The Bible says this, and when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest they should be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So we know here that the angels, they looked at Lot, they say, get your wife and get your daughters and get out. What would you have done? I would have looked into my wife and got my daughters. I mean, you ever seen angels smiting people blind and everything? There should be enough. Lot should have grabbed his... Come on. Come on, Lot. Grab his wife, grab his daughters. We're getting out of Dodge. We're getting out of here. We look at this, you think that is what they would do, but the Bible says, and while he lingered, the men or the angels lay hold upon his hand, and upon the hands of his wife, and upon the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Lot wasn't man enough to grab his wife and daughter's hands, so God had to divinely intervene, and the angels had to grab their hands. Men, be man enough to grab your wife and your daughter's hands if they're heading to destruction or down a wrong road. Say, we're getting out of here. It should not take divine intervention on everything. Quit waiting for the Lord to show up with the cape on to rescue out of everything because you will not hearken. Understand, it took these angels really laying a hand, grabbing them by the hands, the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And we know the story. He even said, let me go to Zoar, a small town nearby, which was a tent village. He still wasn't content with fully leaving. So we look at this and we would gather. Because a lot of times this is what happens to many people. No doubt as Lot is sitting on that mountainside, he looks across, he sees his wife's a pillar of salt. All those despicable things have happened. He'd been drunk, lost his in-laws, lost many friends, lost his mortgage, lost his herdsmen, lost his cattle, lost everything he had. Lot, what would you say to us? I wish I never went. But number two, I wish I had left sooner. I believe that's what Lot would say to us. How many times, friends, hear me today, how many people say would say something like this? They cry after a tragedy. They cry after something major happens in their family. They do not make the decision right. They do not pray about it. They're the type that says, honey, pack my bags as we pray about moving. They're the type that walk casually throughout this life. How many times do those people want to shed tears afterwards and say, I wish I never did it? Multitudes live by that. I've had experiences in my own life. I had a relative die some years back. He died, and unless the Lord intervened, we don't know what happened to him. Most likely we believe that it was he's in damnation. You know how many times I say, I wish I witnessed more? I wish I had tried sooner. Hear me today, friend, because that is the mentality that they had as my wife goes to the piano today. We look at this, and not only can we interview Lot and understand what he was going through, but we can look at Abraham, the faithful man of God, and we can interview him too. You know, a reporter always finds the person involved. I just imagine the reporter goes up to Abraham and says, what happened? He would say, well, I'm Lot's uncle. His family, yeah, they were the ones involved in the tragedy. What happened? I watched him walk. I watched him leave. I watched him move inch by inch to Sodom. He would probably say, and one day three visitors came to me, and I interceded for them. And to be honest with you, maybe the reporter looked at him, if you didn't intercede, you think they would have made it? I don't know. Hear me today, because this is important. Not only can we interview Lot, but we can interview Abraham and understand there was a man that was willing enough to intercede for those that were in Sodom. Abraham, was it easy? Oh no. I prayed like I never prayed before. I was scared. I was terrified. I prayed like I never prayed before. Hear me today, friend, because this is something we must understand. If you have lost loved ones, if you have children, if you have relatives you see making those decisions, you see them living in Sodom, you believe you see them content there, learn to intercede for them. We know the Bible, as I read to you, the difference between Abraham and Lot. When Lot looked up, as my text read to you today, Lot looked up and he seen Sodom and Gomorrah at distance. He seen the well-watered plains. Notice what the Bible says here. That's what Lot saw. And that's what he pursued. But as soon as Lot was gone, the Bible says this, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. He was telling him, look, Lot looked that way. He's seen a lot. Lot looked over there. He desired that. He said, now lift up now thine eyes and look for the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So today I'm going to ask you, do you have eyes like Lot? Or do you have eyes like Abraham? Because many times, many people look through the eyes of Lot. They see this world and they say, man, you know, America, I can't wait till it gets better. I can't wait for America to have revival. And look, you can have vision. That's all right. But a lot of times we look at this world, and with the mentality of my generation, you never see nothing wrong in anything. You do it now, think about it later. But you can have the eyes just like Abraham. Maybe Abraham would have took the news reporter over there and could have pointed her over there to the land in which God just told him to look at. The news reporter would have said, maybe, Abraham, I don't see much. I see some, you know, dust. I see a lot of dry ground. Abraham would say, no, this is the promised land. You see the difference in his vision? This is the promised land. Hey, it's flowing with milk and honey. When the world didn't see it, he could. Maybe they looked at him and said, I don't see anything. But by faith, when Abraham was called to go out unto the place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, he went out not knowing whither he went, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. As a born-again believer, the things that you find value in, the world is not. It's still that way in 2014. We blurred enough lines, crossed enough boundaries, where we feel like, well, you know, we can do anything. But you better have spiritual eyes. Hear me, because it goes on in the Bible to say this. Jesus made this comment about the eyes of Abraham. As I would say, if you would allow me, He made this comment in John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. See what the Bible says? He rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Do you have eyes of faith? That is my I want to just inquire that of you today. Do you have eyes of faith? Or do, friend, hear me, are we like Lot? When Lot saw Sodom, Abraham saw the Savior. When Lot saw Sodom, through the eyes of faith, Abraham saw the Savior. Stand to your feet. And B, we don't have our altar call tonight. I would that you make the most of this one. Now, I just want a simple request today. Simple altar call.